Hello, la hi to go, mommy dearest.
Hi, hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations.
One thought at a time. Welcome.
I forgot that last part again.
I can't believe it.
It's okay.
I can't believe it. Hi. Should we go again? No. Oh, you're fine. Okay.
It's okay. No betrayal smash, you guys.
You know that
we're rusty.
We miss work for 1 week. We forget the intro. Crazy business.
It's true. Crazy. Don't mind business. My Maybelline lip gloss heat.
Don't mind it. Sorry, I forgot it over there. Maybelline, if you're watching this,
wink,
because why?
No, I genuinely forgot it there, guys. That was not no shameless promo.
No. Also, guys, the month of June is focusing on echoes of our youth, guys, because of its youth month, you know, yeah. June 16 and everything. And we've already had a heavily political month already in March. I think we went heavy on human rights and so on and so forth. Yeah. So this month, I didn't want it to focus a lot on politics, but rather the echoes of our youth, you know, basically how from 16-year-old versions of ourselves to 23-year-old versions of ourselves today. So life update, give us something. You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. You look so beautiful, matching, even though I might be colorblind. Is this green?
It is green.
Okay, thank it you. Because like I'm like, is this a yellow or a green or a
yellow?
Green and a yellow together.
Green.
Hey, man.
It's green.
Say, man.
It's green.
Life update. I've had some downtime. Mm-hmm. Not very much, actually, just about 2 weeks. But I think it was good enough for me to spend some time with family. I'm so sad my family is gone. Mm. If you guys are watching this, you're probably not. But the week leading up to my nephew's burial, mm-hmm. the house was packed. Like, all my nieces and nephews with all of them, guys. I have, for context's sake, two of my brothers have kids, and one has four, and the other one had three, but now has two. So all of them were in the house, including my brother and his wife. All my older brothers were in the house. It was just lovely to have them around, and now the house is empty, no laughter from children.
It's just the house
just
now.
Just dull adults getting from day to day, making the money,
teenagers
the
over
bag.
There.
There's no teenagers even, like, everybody in the house is an adult.
Fair, because everybody's like 18 and above. Yeah,
and it's all wake up and get away. Like, it's back to regular programming, which sucks. Because one thing that I did learn during the week that my nieces and nephews were there is that they showed me that every day is an opportunity to do something fun. Like, every day is an opportunity to make that day special. Because there was not a single day where we sat and just looked at each other
and
like
said,
this,
okay,
you know?
What's going on? Yeah.
One day we're painting, next day we're drawing, next day we're dancing. Like, it was always a carpe diem day with my family that week, and which was really healing for us in the moment, because as much as we were grieving together, we use that as an opportunity to laugh together as well. I met some new family members. Guys, the one thing that I don't enjoy about any major occasion is how people just pop up out of the woodworks, bro. It's like,
savings isn't just about money. It's about what that money gives you. Freedom, peace of mind, a soft place to land. Absa Saving Coach, the latest innovation from Absa, is designed to make saving fun and easy. You name your goal. Study fees, travel, mental wellness retreat, and you decide how to get there. Want to automate your savings every payday? Done.
Want to save a little every time you reach a personal goal? You can do that too. It's intentional, flexible, and it's all available on Absa's banking app. So go ahead. Save in a way that fits your life with Absa's Saving Coach. Absa is an authorized FSP and a registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
When?
Who is you? Like,
I've never seen you in my 22 years of living.
But you deserve an
invitation to my wedding.
Like,
you are coming, you are bonding with me. Do you even know the person you are?
But it was really interesting to meet new family members. I also do not, that was the last time, God, I'm hoping it's the last time we receive uninvited visitors, uninvited guests. I'm glad that, you know, I'm sort of navigating this grief period by, you know, making myself laugh every now and then. And one thing that has made me laugh in the past week is how, like, people just insist on coming to mourn with you. Mm. Hey, I haven't seen you in 3-4 years. What the hell are you doing? And sure, you have great intentions, but give us a heads up.
Yeah,
maybe,
like, hey, know? Should I come? Like, hey, 1, 2, 3. Like, I think it's like a thing of, like, it's very difficult to navigate because I can there's a saying that you don't get invited to funerals. There's no invitation sent out during funerals.
I mean, no, absolutely. For close friends and family, don't need an invitation.
Yes.
But I mean, if we haven't seen you in 3-4 years,
and you're just popping up out of it, there's purely platonic, and then all of a sudden you are here. Okay.
And then you expect, I don't like visitors. I don't like visitors. If I didn't invite you, don't call.
No.
Unless you're like, again, close friend and family. Yeah. But like, you come, now I must host you, now I must make you tea, now I must. And I hated that process, guys. Thankfully, there will not be any reason for us to have those kind of visitors again. Even my own wedding.
Yeah, no, she wants exclusive, small, intimate. Like, even if I know about it, it would be a shock. That's how small she wants it.
I don't like visitors.
She wants something very small. And I'm like, girl, you are Kaya. Of course, nothing you do is going to be small.
Maybe the wedding, like the should I say the white wedding? I don't like that term. But
the modern wedding.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, the modern
wedding is going to have like guests and all.
Yeah.
But this period showed me that I do not like visitors.
Okay. It's established.
Especially unannounced. But my life update long. Thank you. The other thing, I don't know when our newsletter is going to come out. Hopefully, it would have come out by the time you guys see this. But if not, you'll read more about it in my journal entry in the newsletter. But the period, this period has, as much as it has brought grief, it's brought so much peace. Mm. Because I think a week or two before we buried Jaden Lee, I kept ruminating on the idea that you should put people in their boxes and treat them accordingly.
Mm.
And come time for the, you know, funeral prep and, you know, when I needed community the most, is when I felt like, I think had I not ruminated on that the week before, I would have been offended by certain absences. Mm. But I was like so grateful to have the ones who showed up and the ones who didn't. I was just like, oh, vele, like,
it makes sense.
That's the box I appreciate. And so I want to encourage our audience that if you are also experiencing grief and you feel like you're alone and nobody's really there, it's an indication that you should put people in their boxes. And in that box, like, for instance, I laugh with this person, I may go out with this person, but I won't expect much from this person.
Mm.
I go, I do business with this person, we may sometimes have conversations about our personal life, but I also cannot rely on this person.
Mm.
This person, like, put them in their boxes, because if you enter a season where you need people and they don't show up and you didn't put them in the right box, you're going to fall into massive disappointment.
Yes,
so
you're going to feel like, oh my God, the world is crumbling.
Yeah.
Oh my God, where is everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Anyway, we'll read more about that.
On the journal.
In the newsletter, guys. Mm. We're not going to cover any newsletter content, yeah? And we're not going to cover any
content on the newsletter.
Like, it's completely separate conversations. Very intimate conversations there as well. But that's my life update. I've been journaling as well. The idea of journaling seems a bit daunting when you're just going off the top of your head,
mm-hmm.
but you need an actual journal. So sometimes people buy a notebook and then they assume, you know, they're going to start journaling from scratch, but you actually need a journal that's going to give you prompts, that's going to give you daily ways to organize your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, the thought piece on the journal was, when was the last time you felt connected to your true self? That was number one. And then the second journal prompt was, name 3 people who have contributed to your life significantly within the past 12 months, mm-hmm. and however they've made you a better person. And, you know, these are things we think about every now and then, but we never really get to write them down.
Yeah.
And when you write them down, so many things that you never considered before begin to hit the paper, you know, which has been really lovely for me. I've begun to organize my thoughts, organize my feelings. I'm in a surprisingly good place. I'm allowing myself to grieve as well. Again, newsletter content. Mm-hmm. But grief has so many
phases and stages.
Phases, it's forever, like,
you will never stop grieving.
Yeah, and yeah. There is a little bit of peace as well because of the progress that is being made in the police investigation. So we're seeing some progress on that end, and that is lifting some of the weight of the manner in which his life was taken. It's kind of like, okay, justice seems impending, which is contributing, to the lightness in my being at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing my best to be there for my brother because he lives with us. Mm-hmm. He's a man, you know how men are. They swallow their emotions, but we're all rallying behind him whenever he needs something. We're there, and we're waiting for that moment because I feel like he's in that denial stage of grief where he's still, you know, you still haven't registered exactly what's happened, but we're waiting for the pin to drop, and when it drops, we're gonna be there, which is what family's for. But that's my life update. The lengthiest love update I've had the entire year. I usually try to keep it very short.
It's because we haven't been here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we haven't been here in a minute.
Yeah,
life update?
I had swine flu, y'all. I had...
What is swine flu, by the way?
I didn't know what it was until they told me I had it. So okay. I struggled breathing. I couldn't breathe. Like, if I walked for too long, I had shortness of breath. I was severely sick. I could barely get out of bed. I couldn't do anything. I was just sick. I was coughing blood. Like, it was
coughing blood.
Yeah, like phlegm. That, like, yeah, it was
what?
It was hectic.
That is hectic.
It was very hectic. So I had that for like, and I didn't know that was what I had, you know. And I'd hope I didn't spread it to anyone because I kept coming to work even with being sick, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I finally said, you know what, no, let me actually go and find out what it is. So I went to the hospital, and then they said, hey, this is thingy. Then I got the medication I needed. Sadly, by the time I found out what it was, I'd already spread it to all my friends in the unit. So everybody's recovering right now.
The way I will whoop. Yo,
everybody is recovering.
Is swine flu? Is swine not a pig, bro?
Like, it comes from pigs, funny enough.
You
actually
had pig flu?
I had,
stop eating pork, man. It has nothing to do with eating pork.
No. Yeah, but I had pig flu, y'all. I had pig flu, and it just was hitting me for the past weeks. And then when I found out my diagnosis, I was like, okay, let me quarantine. So I didn't go out anyway. I didn't want to go out anyway. Yeah. That's why I also canceled the shoot on the Monday, because I didn't want to give it to anybody else, because some people, the effects may be worse than some, you know. Mine was just like, it was just a severe flu. Not, I've had COVID, it wasn't as bad as my COVID flu, but it was bad, you know. So that's what I had. And then I also started therapy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a new one for someone who's like, hey, anti-therapy, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I actually started therapy.
What have you been unpacking in therapy?
Well, I had my first session this week, so I haven't really gotten to unpacking much. It was just more of a, like, introductory session with my therapist. I'm having conversational type of therapy. Mm-hmm. And
what kind of therapist is it? Is it, like, a religious therapist?
No, it's not a religious therapist. It's... what happened was I was having a mental breakdown, like... Mm. Bengi Shaiwa, yo, left, right, and center. It felt like every week there's something I'm fighting against. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't felt a week of peace. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know. And every week I feel like there's some gilwa. Like, I'm fighting every week, you know. And I just was really, like, crumbling because I was fighting something. I had, like, back-to-back meetings with people, serious people and all those things, and it was just really exhausting, and everything was just exhausting. And then first my bursary offers therapy. Mm-hmm. So I'd downloaded the app. It's Lyra. Downloaded the app to look for a therapist. It needed a code. I asked for the code. No one sent me the code. Mm-hmm. So then I went on the internet and I was like looking for therapists near me. Mm-hmm. And there was this website, and then you kind of like fill in your prompts, like what your preferences are. So I didn't want anyone necessarily religious or anything like that. So I just wrote my preferences and 1, 2, 3. And funny enough, like, I filled in that form and in 3 minutes, a therapist contacted me. And we had a session like 2 days later, and I fell in love with the conversation and the way she's handling things. So that's, yeah, I'm in therapy. So I'll tell you guys how it is. They say therapy is a journey. So I'm not expecting any changes now, but I'm having weekly sessions. Weekly sessions, and yeah, that's me. And then I got the news that one of my uncles, very close uncle of mine, has might have meningitis. You know, it's a, I also didn't know what it was, but it's a bacteria that attacks. You just get it from in, like, some things, guys, in life you can't prevent. So you touch a surface or whatever, and you get this bacteria called meningitis that attacks your brain. And ends up, when it attacks your brain, it attacks everything.
Of course.
Can't move, can't think,
yeah.
Can't remember, you can't. So, yeah, so the way he was in surgery yesterday to find out if it really is, I hope we get the news that it's not, because if it is, yeah, so that's my life update. And then I'm in, while you're watching this, I should be in exam season. But right now I'm in preparing for exam seasons. One of the reasons why I actually sought out therapy was because, besides like feeling like going against the current of life and I don't know how to handle these situations and they're affecting my character, you know, who I am, how I handle things, how I treat people. I also have lack of motivation and lack
of... Affecting your character, how so? Like, what was the light bulb moment where you're like, this is affecting my character? What did you do or say?
It's a thing of, like... I'm going to need another one. Hey, don't give her another one. Give her water. It was a thing of, like... I was very reactive.
Okay.
So, like, for certain situations, I look back I was like, I didn't have to, like, react to this, firstly. Or even if I reacted to this, I shouldn't have reacted in the way I reacted to it. And it goes to many things, you know. And because I was very reactive, you know, I'm taking everything personally, you know. So I'm reacting from a personal place, you know, and some things were not personal, you know. So I guess I've just been a highly volatile and a very emotional person. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to be crying every week on this couch, y'all. Something's wrong, you know. So yeah, so I more so regulating my emotions, and also just to, because apparently therapy, I guess it's my first session, they can help you with that, and they can also help you, like, get back motivation, get back consistency, because I lost motivation in a lot of aspects of my life. If you can see, I haven't released a vlog in how many weeks?
3 weeks.
Exactly. And I have so much content, you know. So it's like, what's wrong, you know? So, yeah, that's why I'm in therapy.
Okay, it's good. You got the help you needed. Like, you knew you needed help, and you went and you got it.
Yeah, it was all the good step. Everybody, Kaya, 1, 2, 3. Everybody I'm talking to is like, girl, go to therapy, go to therapy.
I've been saying that since last year, man.
Like, go to therapy. And then I had, like, a whole meeting. And in the meeting, they're like, go to therapy. And I was like, actually, yeah.
I'm glad you finally took the step to go.
Yeah, I need to go to therapy.
Like, that negotiation you have inside your head not to go to therapy is a real one.
Yeah. You're like,
I can do it.
What girl can they help me with?
Yeah, but I'm going to do it.
And then you don't do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's my life update, y'all.
Life updates, guys.
Yeah, very fulfilling. Very
fulfilling?
I don't know. Like, we went into everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Comprehensive.
Very comprehensive. That's the very comprehensive. Yeah. So, in... to add to the comprehensiveness of our life updates, today's girl chat topic is, who taught you it was okay to shine? So in your, like...
I think we know yours.
Mine is, like, you know, the one teacher. Yeah. And there's my mom.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, who taught you to shine in primary, who taught you to shine in high school, and who's teaching you to shine now?
Nobody taught me how to shine.
Eh?
Like, I really pondered on this girl chat for a minute. I'm like,
yeah, who taught me to shine?
There was, even when I was bullied, like, I never reached out to anyone because I knew I could handle it, you know? Anything that was thrown my way, especially in primary school, in high school, in varsity, even now, I know I can handle it. So there wasn't anybody who walked me through the times where I thought it wasn't okay to shine. You know, so I don't have a story. Like, there's nobody, I've said this before, I don't look up to anyone. There's no one who inspires me. There are people I admire, sure. And like, oh, she's doing a great job. I like what she's doing here. But, no.
Then what then helped you shine? Like, having no one.
I've just always shone.
Hey.
No, genuinely. Genuinely.
Hey. This is how people feel when they have conversations with me and I toot my horn.
Is that me beating my chest?
Yes.
My
you just said like...
No, like, and this mean? Is something I've learned in the past week. So I met, for the first time in, I think, 10 years, I had a conversation. Yeah. 10 or 11, I had a conversation with my aunt, who's my dad's sister, right? And she gave me some insight into how they grew up, right? Yeah. So my father and his siblings grew up in orphanages, right? And it was just... Their parents just left them there. It wasn't a matter of circumstance that they couldn't raise them. Because my grandmother, my father's mother, was a very educated, accomplished, well-traveled woman, right? She just didn't really want them, right? And so they grew up in orphanages. And at, I think, 14, they were separated into different ones. So he has two siblings, and they're all into different orphanages. And then when they were 18, obviously the orphanages have to let you go. And then they reconnected and they found each other. Wherever they were in the country. Thank goodness all of them were still in the country, right? But she told me, which my father has, I think he avoided telling me because he's a little bit in denial, you know how old people are when they move past the toughest parts of their lives. But she let me in on the reality of their upbringing. And she told me what I've always known. She said, resilience, self-certainty is in our blood. When because their mother came back, right, looking for them when they were in their 30s, their mother came back and said, hey, I'm your mom, and they all said, we don't need you, we've made beautiful lives for ourselves. My aunt is now a really successful hairdresser. She has her own beautiful salon. She's been successful for years. Her children all over the world. Her daughter's in Qatar. You know, my father has built a very beautiful life for himself. His daughter has a podcast.
Yeah, podcast.
You know, unfortunately, my uncle, my father's brother, passed away. But they've made beautiful lives for themselves. Point I'm making is that it is part of who we are as the Meeks to build beautiful lives for ourselves on our own and not depend on other people and not allow our circumstances to affect how we think of ourselves. We think highly of ourselves. If you meet a Meek, if you hear my father speak, you hear my aunt speak highly of themselves regardless of how they grew up, and it's instinctive. So that's why I'm saying I've always shone. It was never in me not to shine or to dim my light because of certain people. Like, if I made a decision not to participate in something or stop doing something or stop showing up somewhere, it is out of my own volition.
Not because of people.
Never because of people. Never, ever. I want people to know that you have absolutely no bearing on the decisions I make.
Make it my
in my
life.
Day-to-day. Ever. Whatever you say.
So then no book, no song, no...
No. Songs, like, if I read a book or I listened to a song, it only validated what I believed. Not encouraged me to believe something new. I always reference... I think we had this... What a bittersweet day. But the day when we were sharing music and, like, this song... Play us a song and explain to us why the song is important to you.
Remember? What was this? Yo, guys, I promise. When was this?
Like me.
Okay. No.
You remember now?
The memories came back, yes.
That's what I'm saying, it's a very bittersweet thing.
The bittersweet is the reason why I remember that day. It was bittersweet.
Hey, Damn it. But one of the songs that I did play was Power is Power by The Weeknd, Travis Scott, and SZA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was part of the Game of Thrones soundtrack, mm-hmm. right? Really beautiful song. The lyrics are great. And it only validated what I thought about myself. A knife in my heart couldn't slow me down because power is power. My fire never goes out. That's what the song says. So songs like that just...
They don't create it.
Yes.
They just like fuel.
Even, yes. You know which song fuels my fire? Also, Nasty C and MT, Born to Win.
I know that's so I'm sure if you ever like saw them perform it, you would be the loudest. You would be the loudest person in the crowd.
Because it's like, what, first you will fail and then we get back upon because we never was born to quit.
Hey.
Anyway, let's not. Nice to see when you perform that song. Call me
Kitlao Jaibela. You will dance. You'll be the. Yeah,
those are songs that fuel my fire. Right?
Okay.
You?
Okay.
I know you have.
Oh yeah.
Primary,
so,
high school. Now.
Yeah, like I've always shown like shining is like in my blood. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how like we are able to sit on this platform today and have built this platform today is because we shine. You know, so shining has always been in my blood as well. I've always like shown like I've always stood out. In crash, I stood out.
Yeah.
In primary school, in my first primary school, I stood out like to the point where like I had like senior students taking care of me.
Yeah.
I had people who fetched me by the gate. Dropped me off in my class, bought me lunch, 1, 2, 3. Like, people used to queue for me during break and stuff. So, and it was simply because I was that bubbly, cute girl, you know, that bubbly, cute little girl, and I had a lot of mothers and fathers, you know, that thing, yeah? So I've always shown, you know, but I only started feeling bad about it, you know, and not even in high school, in primary school.
What?
Yes, in primary school, guys, I started feeling bad about like being that person in primary school because I feel like when you are that person, people assume you are either a teacher's pet or they assume you are a tattletale or something, you know. Mm-hmm. They just assume things about you, you know. Like they assume you come from a wealthy family. They assume that, oh, this one, she chills with the teachers. None of that happened. I actually had confrontations with teachers. Mm-hmm. But you didn't know that because people... gravitated. I got opportunity because they knew I could do it, and I shine, you know. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I got bullied in high school, in primary school. As I said, when I became head girl, I think I've mentioned this before. When I became head girl, people were shocked as to why you would give me the position because one, I didn't play sports. Two, I was not even top 10. Like, I was top 10, but I was not number one in the top 10.
Yeah.
And it's known that the head girl is always the smartest girl in the school, you know? And I wasn't that. Mm. To the point where the girl who thought she was going to be head girl ended up crying. It was a whole thing. And people were comforting her. And people didn't come and congratulate me because I took someone else's position as if I had, like, anything to do with that, you know? So, because of, like... all of that, going through all of that, I didn't necessarily tell people when I was bullied.
Okay.
It was evident. My mom, I think, was called by the school and they were like, Mpho's going through bullying. Check up on her or whatever. My mom had a conversation with me and she literally told me this, and this is the attitude I've always had since. She's like, if you've never had a personal encounter with nobody, you haven't fought them, you haven't sweared them, you haven't done anything to them, and they hate you, it's probably because they want to be you. Mm-hmm. That's what my mom told me. She was like, it's just jealousy. You are beautiful, you are intelligent, you are confident. Of course you're going to have haters. I knew what haters were, what haters were, like, in primary, you know? And my mom told me this. So every time I got bullied, in my head, I was like, just want to be me. And they validated that. Like, they emphasized that because you couldn't beat me. Like, in anything. Like, you couldn't beat me in academics. You couldn't. I ended up becoming head girl. My mom kind of, like, pompered me. She's the reason why I'm my biggest,
big
like...
shout-out,
like, I'm there, like, ooh. Like, she pompered me, guys. That's why I speak about myself the way I do. It's because of that woman.
Yeah.
So, for me, that's who it was in primary. Yeah. In high school, then I had Miss Ratwana.
Yeah.
You know, she
was... You finally remembered her name.
I... There was a day I forgot.
You speak about her a lot and you never said her name. This is the first time.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, Miss Ratwana. Oh, Miss Ratwana. I saw her on WhatsApp and everything. Maybe I was just trying to protect her privacy or whatever. But, like, Miss Ratwana, for her, it was like, I never went to her and said, hey, I'm being bullied. She saw it and she just stood up for me. And then she pulled me aside and also said, girl, shine.
Yeah.
Shine, you are going to go so far. She's the one person I think who could have predicted me being here.
Yeah.
She's like, you are going to go so far in life. Yeah. Like, you are going to reach heights you've never imagined because of who you are. Yeah. And they're just like, further, like, you know, it did it for me, you know, and I reached heights, you know. And then now, let me just say, now I'm my biggest hornblower.
Yeah.
I think I'm the person who bumpers myself to shine.
Yeah.
Like, and it's taking a lot of like conscious effort in doing that. Because I feel like we have a lot of we have haters.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who wanna say something negative or get excited when something negative happens in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, of course, like the noise of your hater is always louder than the noise of the people who support you. Mm-hmm. So now I'm more conscious about like shutting out the noise of the negativity and just like allowing myself to understand that I am that girl. Yeah. We are those girls. Yeah, yeah, so that's why I'm shining. That's why I'm shining now. And I just want to say to our audience that shining is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to stand out, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to be unique. Mm-hmm. Whether you stand out in how you dress, whether you stand out in how you speak, you know, it's not a bad thing. Take that and put that in and make it, take it to your for your advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, you can use that as a strength, while other people try to make it your weakness, make it your strength.
Yeah. And I think that shining, the prerequisite for shining is absolute selfishness. The moment you consider the feelings of others when it's time for you to shine, you will not shine the brightest you possibly can. Because you're worried about this one feeling less than.
Mm.
You're worried about hurting this one's feelings. You're worried about what this person will think of you. And then your light will begin to dim more and more and more. Because you are being too considerate of people who may not even be supporting you, you know? And I think one thing that I always remember when it's time to step into a room is that half these people here don't know me. Actually, 99% all of these people in this room do not know me. So nothing they say I will take personally because they do not know me personally. Secondly, how you feel about yourself when I enter the room is none of my business. Yeah. Whatever happens when you second guess your outfit because I walk in, you second guess yourself, you second guess your abilities, your talent, when I walk into the room.
That's on you, baby.
That's completely on you. So know that whatever happens in people's minds about you is a demon they have to fight on their own.
It's out of your control.
It's not your business to convince them that you are who you think you are.
Mm.
And I think the moment that people feel a little offended by you no longer needing any validation from them, that's when you gotta tuck them. You gotta kick them out.
Mm. Really.
Mm. What do you mean you don't know? Hey. Okay.
That's real.
Our girl chat.
Yeah.
Let's play a little game.
Yes, guys. Kai was like, oh my God, I miss the games we used to play. So I literally like looked for whiteboards in studios.
Did you?
In studio in my car. Yeah, they're over there. Oh. I looked for whiteboards. I looked for markers. So we gonna play.
When did you do that?
Well, you were doing your makeup.
Oh.
Kaya takes so long to do her makeup, guys.
I do, guys. I promise you. I like colors.
Like, wow. She will sit and just look at herself.
Yes, I will. I genuinely will.
And you're just that girl.
I want to make sure, like, oh, is today's look super bronzy? Yes, it's bronzy. So let's add a lot more. That's why I asked for your foundation stick. Because I'm like, today we're going bronze, baby.
And she looks stunning, baby.
Thank you, honey bun.
You really do look so stunning. Like,
Thank you, guys,
I didn't recognize her. Like, when I saw
this girl, she must wear a glasses.
I was like,
it's not about my beauty. It's because she's legally blind.
No, it's a beauty. I was like, who's this pretty girl holding bags and stuff? And I don't know why the bags didn't hint at it being you.
Dude, we're the only people who carry bags around here.
We walk around this world with suitcases, guys. I promise you, people think we do something shady. I promise.
Dude,
we go to the mall with a suitcase.
We do go to the mall.
We go to restaurants. I had rollers in my head one time at the mall. Please.
But I love our job.
But I always say that, like, you don't pay my bills. So I don't care what you think.
It's true.
Whee! It's true. So what are our categories? How many do you have there?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
She's so organized. You should see how she's drawing these lines.
Lapo, I can't even draw straight lines again. I'm just dugging it out. Guys, in the hood, we have water shedding now, by the way.
Oh, you know, it's not the hood. It's Joburg.
Joburg. One, yeah. Two, three, four. Hey, what the hell, yeah?
But
I what the hell, yeah? I'm saying, bro, when I saw a water shedding notification come in from, you know, that that app, Eskom Sapush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw water shedding notification. I'm like, now we're in the trenches.
We really
are. In the damn dungeon, bro. Like, what happens if they say load shedding and water shedding one day?
Bro, we had, like, load shedding the other day, and our generators at Res were refusing to cooperate. Now, at least with water shedding, our Res has, we have our own water supply.
Oh, nice.
So while the rest of Oakland Park doesn't have water, we got water.
That's nice.
How about with hot water and stuff? I'm good.
What category? Let's, like, choose some difficult categories today.
Car. Car, okay. Country.
Brand. Okay, country.
Country is difficult for me.
Brand.
Brand, okay. South African celebrity.
Yo,
I think I'm gonna fail. Okay, I'm gonna fail there, guys. I don't know South African celebrities. It's so bad.
Me neither, bro.
What? So bad.
And then?
And then we need.
Tabang, what do you think? Okay. Color. And then the last one is for points. Is it not?
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 Let's get this party started. How many seconds we? Oh, who's gonna start the timer?
Tawang, you do it. You give us the letter and start the timer.
Please. Did he say no? Okay. 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 Let's go,
guys. When was the last time we played this game, bruh? It's been so long. This is back when Tato didn't have a studio. And we were playing this game at his apartment, guys. We went from shooting at an apartment to shooting in a studio.
You get it.
What?
The levels.
Growth.
The levels.
Wow. You okay. Get it. Okay, let's go.
Stopwatch, ne? Yeah, how many seconds?
60.
Okay.
60 seconds, yeah.
Okay. So, are you guys ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't start with X. You start with X. I'm glad. I'm so glad.
Okay. First letter is T.
Yo. Yo.
I'll try to be unique.
10 seconds in.
I win.
Eh. 20 seconds in.
Okay, I think 30 seconds is too long.
Brand.
Yeah, no, 60 seconds is too long. We're taking it to 30 seconds now. Yeah.
Ha.
Okay.
Okay, it's fine. I wrote here. Yeah.
I don't have a car. Car and do ballet Tiguan.
No, isn't Tiguan like a make of a certain brand?
Yes, I knew.
Okay, cool. As long as you know, I wrote Toyota.
Oh, damn.
It's a car, but it's a make.
I forgot Toyota.
Country?
Tanzania.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay, you were making sure. Brand, Total.
Tommy. What's your?
Total Sport.
Okay, Tommy Hilfiger.
Celebrity Trevor Noah.
Tito Boweni. Tito Boweni.
Color teal.
I also said teal. Damn it.
Okay,
I got 450.
She beat me with that car. Oh, damn.
What's
next
one? Yes. Yes.
Next letter is G.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yo. Country with the G. Oh. Is a color with a G? There's no color with a G. There's no car with a G. Nina manga.
Car, guys, is the car with a G.
Time.
Okay, car, I have zero.
Also, me, I have zero. Yeah.
Country, I have Ghana.
I have Germany.
Brand, I have Gucci.
I have Giorgio Armani.
SA celebrity, I have Gigi Lamine.
50, mama.
Color, I have green.
Yo!
Everybody green today! How do you?
I should have looked around.
Oh, my God.
Damn, zero.
Oh,
I got
250. At least I'm back to our tag again. Our tag.
Yeah,
we're ready. We're ready.
Next letter is F.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh Jehovah.
Color with the F.
2 seconds in.
It's fine. There's no color there. Nina, with the F. Nina manga. Oh, I know a color.
Of na manga.
I do.
Oh, na manga.
You can Google it even.
Okay.
Okay, car.
Ferrari.
Ford.
Okay. Country, France.
Finland.
Okay. Brand, Fabiani.
Fendi.
Okay.
We have 50, Mama. 50. I knew it.
Color fuchsia.
I also said fuchsia.
Okay.
And that's only because I've heard it before, not because I've seen fuchsia, guys.
I don't even know what fuchsia is. 1, 2, 3, 400
That's 3 letters, man.
Yes.
Two more.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, the next letter is B.
Oh. Okay.
The celebrity. Oh. I will be thingy. Nah, the celebrity, you're going to get 50, I'm telling you.
Guys, SA celebrity with a B. Hey, which celebrity
Bonang.
Is it? Bonang.
Dude, I'm like, she's definitely going to write Bonang because she loves Bonang so
God.
Much.
How do I forget Bonang? Okay. Country, car, Bugatti.
Hey, 50. Damn it. Love, I thought I was being unique.
Country, Belgium.
Burundi.
Okay. Brand, Balenciaga.
Burberry.
Okay. It says I live 0. Car, color blue.
Okay, burgundy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 50. If I don't get 500,
Last letter.
Okay.
Yes, let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, this one's tough.
Hey, bra. Don't do that.
Give me a second. Okay, I'm ready.
Mm. Yes.
Why?
Is that a car with a Y? Ew. This color is diabolical. There's no car with a Y. Celeb, yes, you are. He's global. He's a global celeb.
Yes. Okay, I got nothing.
I also got nothing, yeah.
Country, I got Yemen.
I also said Yemen, damn it.
Brand, I got Jägermeister.
Jägermeister is a J.
It's a J!
I got YSL.
Oh, Jehovah. As I said, I got nobody.
I also got nobody.
Color did no yellow. Pen.
Also yellow. 50, mama.
Oh, color won. Damn it.
I win again, guys. If your memory serves you correctly, I won
she
again
won
the last
time. Oh, man. I'm so bad.
This
I'm
was so fun. Thank this you, so bro.
Yeah, this was.
This was really fun.
Wait, so what do you want? The lid? I don't know where I put
the
lid.
Oh, nah. I also didn't see where you put the lid. Lift your board. Let's see.
It's not there. It's on the board.
Can you reach? Oh, you finally wore these shoes.
Yes.
They're so cutie, the Miori.
Thank you very much.
Are they sturdy?
Yes, very sturdy.
Okay.
Because
when you see like petite shoes like these,
you're just like, are they
sturdy? You're like, yo, you're just going to carry me. You're 60 kgs. Okay, I'm not 60 kgs, I'm 55.
Fun times ahead, y'all, but let's get into the membership.
Yeah, bueno. Long topic.
No, long topic. Damn, y'all.
There's the cue, guys. Subscribe to memberships because we have a memberships episode for you today.
Yes, I really missed memberships. Yes. So, yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. Okay. Our long topic is what joy taught me when life was heavy. I think you literally.
Yeah, I did share this
in the life update, so cute. Yeah, share stories.
But the title of this long topic is Black Girl Joy.
Yeah, boy.
Yes, I love that. It's a very powerful topic.
So what has joy taught you?
I think from a young age, like, again, very characteristic of the Meeks is to laugh. Like, even when it's tough, make a joke, just laugh, right? And I think that's what makes, that's why I'm a little bit apprehensive with introducing people to my family. Because we have the darkest sense of humor. Like, if it's not dark, we are teasing each other. Like, you'll hear my, and this is what braces us for, like, the outside world. Because there's nothing you can say to me that my cousins and my brothers and my whoevers have not said to me.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, okay.
So we've always been a family who laughs. My father makes the most untimely jokes, the most offensive jokes too, but they're jokes, they're hilarious. So I think, Jay, like the way that I grew up with my family cultivated the necessity for joy. Mm. Like you'd find even in a grieving period, we're watching Trevor Noah and we would just enjoy laughing together, you know? Now, recently, obviously, there's TikTok and all of the things. Mm-hmm. So joy has been a really integral part of the way that my family has gone through challenges. Like, even there was a time, goodness, there was a time my parents were going through financial difficulty and they couldn't afford meat, right? So my mom, she's like, all of you, come, gather here, gather here. We are all going vegetarian.
No, that is so real. That is so real.
And they were like, she's like, yeah, no, we're vegetarian now. So when you don't see meat on your plate, it's because.
I understand.
And the thing is, we were very young at the time. So were we very young? Maybe we were young, right? Mm-hmm. Young enough not to understand what she was doing. Because we were like, ha, really? Because, you know, she was like on a weight loss journey.
Oh, and so all of these things.
So it made sense. We're like, oh, okay. So now because she's on weight loss, that means the rest of us have to join her, support our mom.
Yes.
And I think we went through two or three days of no meat. Just, it's shebo ne rice. Or if it's not shebo ne rice, it's in fish ne rice. And I think on day three, even she was like, nah.
I can't do this vegetarian diet. I'm a black woman in the black South Africa. I am no vegetarian.
Did you hear it? She was like, nah, I've got to hustle, right? And obviously now she pawned something. She bought the meat, you know? But that's an example of how humor has carried us through even the difficult times.
Oh,
even my
so
mom's
funny.
Sense of humor carried us through the difficult times. My father's sense of humor. Yeah, I think I've always had black girl joy. And now when I think about it, when it comes to, you know, the conversation we had in the girl chat segment about shining, right, and never needing permission to shine, I think a healthy home environment, even though it had its major flaws, I must say my upbringing had its major flaws, but when it came to cultivating real joy, we never slipped. We never missed a beat. You'd find us, you know, like in the midst of chaos in our family. And then 2 minutes later, you know, we're laughing, which was, I think, also has set the tone for my relationships now, where even with like friendships and business partnerships, if I can't laugh with you about something that is, you know, somewhat heavy, or like if you can't laugh in the midst of being stressed, we're not gonna work out, man.
Yes.
Because I don't take life too seriously. So I like to surround myself with people who don't take life too seriously, you know? But yeah.
I was actually seeing a TikTok today of this guy who is like, the one thing he tries to do and thrives to do is create happy environments.
Yeah.
Whether it's with his family, whether it's with his friends, or whether it's with at work. Yeah. Like, work can be stressful, we can be productive, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But an environment should be fostered where like jokes can be shared, like people can actually laugh. I think that also like helps with like productivity. If we can laugh, we can joke, whatever it may be, it can help with productivity. I feel like for me the I have like a few like memories, like joyful memories a lot this year, funny enough. But I remember when my parents were like, these people were not speaking to each other, but we played Candy Crush together. Do you understand?
Online.
Do you understand? So yeah, when I Candy Crush, like you back then, everybody was obsessed with Candy Crush.
Yeah.
So there would be, we had a tablet in the house that we downloaded Candy Crush on. Every night, we know mom and dad are not speaking to each other.
Yeah.
But every night as a family, we sit. Each person has their turn to play. So if you doy a level, You pass the tablet to the next person.
Now that's hilarious.
So imagine,
we're
like,
not on speaking terms, but we're gonna play a game. But together we
go,
for the show.
We go play Candy Crush together. Like, we're not speaking. And literally, what made them speak and what brought joy and laughter was Candy Crush in our house. Like, shout out to Candy Crush.
I think that's peak.
Like, just shout out to Candy Crush. So, like, that for me, like, those moments, it's like, yes, mom and dad are not speaking, but we still had, it was our own way of doing family time.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise there would be no family time, you know? And then other instances where, like, joy has really, like, carried us. So, like, in my unit, we have, like, two people who have, like, failed CTA. Mm-hmm. Well, three. So, a few of us who have failed CTA, failed postgrad, yeah. And then we have Bongs, who's doing her postgrad for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the things we do to relieve stress are so comedic. There was a day we went and fetched high heels from our rooms.
Yeah.
And we Bongs fetched her LED lights. And we put LED lights in the common area, like, and we turned them red. And we had a whole, like, Ciara performance happening with high
That's
heels.
Big
I'm
age.
Telling you, with onesies. We talk about people wearing onesies. With high heels.
People who passed that room were like,
luckily
what
you can't
have
even
they
see.
Smoked?
Luckily, you can't even see what's going on in our unit. You can only hear what's going on.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember, like, and my friend, like, does, like, dancing things in her room with high heels to the point, like, there was a time where we were hanging out with a guy who stays downstairs. And funny enough, he stays right below her. And he was like, what does the girl who stays upstairs mean? Like, what does she be doing? Because I hear goom, 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 goom.
Yeah.
Whole time, this girl works, like, does dancing with her high heels. Yeah. That's how, like, she works out. So, like, you will hear all those things.
So
and
you guys were dancing in your high heels?
Bruh,
did you fall?
No.
Oh, surprising.
That was another thing.
Why were you dancing with high heels with your toe?
No, it was before my toe.
Okay.
It was before my toe.
Okay.
Now with my toe, what we do, like, is it, the thing is, I don't know if they'll let me put these videos on the internet, but, like,
they probably won't.
They won't. But
then,
like,
they will
we
not.
Did, like, whole, we do whole, like, workout things, like, we'll compete, like, how many squats you can do, how many sit-ups you can do, but we laughing the whole time. And I feel like those moments where I'm just sitting with these people who most of them were strangers to me until this year. And we are laughing. It makes me like, oh my God, I'm just like, oh, life isn't that bad, guys.
Yeah.
Life isn't that bad. Yeah. Like, I can cry about, like, something that's happening and then afterwards we hitting jokes.
Yeah.
We are laughing.
That's the of sisterhood, eh? Very beautiful.
It's a very beautiful thing. And I'm like, if it wasn't for, like, those joyful moments, we would be so heartbroken.
Yeah.
Now, my thing is, we are a country that's going through a lot in South Africa.
Yeah.
But we find jokes in whatever we're going through.
Yep.
Name any funny situations, like TikTok memes or something.
Let me try and think.
That my number one is referring to our president as Cupcake and him accepting
and him
that.
Accepting
that
it
as his
diabolical,
name.
Bro.
Really?
That girl saying, hello, Cupcake.
And he said, hello, and he looked like a cupcake. Oh my God! Oh guys, Cupcake is so cute.
Like Cyril. What's happening?
Oh.
But I think he also understands, you know, the need for humor in our country. And I think one thing that our South Africa, like, what makes me proudly South African is our ability also to laugh.
Yes.
Like, yes, sometimes we laugh a little too soon, you know?
Yeah.
But in the midst of COVID, guys, the content that came out during COVID
was
so top tier,
like,
bro.
People are dying, but, like, the jokes are...
Dude, we're stuck in the house, all of us. We're seeing dust academically. Like, it's just not looking good. But are we laughing?
Yes.
Yes,
there was
we
even created online party spaces.
Yes, I remember
where
it.
You could do online party. We had Lassie's way with his memes. Like, Lassie's, he put earphones on his nose to act
goodness,
like he's in the ICU.
I remember.
Guys, I'm telling you, one thing about this country,
we will laugh.
Everything is a joke.
Oh my goodness.
Everything is a joke.
I love that.
We have an alcoholism problem.
But
we'll see.
There's this one, was it a TikTok trend? I think it was a thread on TikTok though. Of
the uncles.
Functions or something like
that. Yes, and that one uncle.
Like, that is diabolical, and it's true. We all have that one uncle who just gets too drunk.
And everybody had it. Everybody, like, we have to admit this is alcoholism, but there's a joke inside.
Yeah.
There's a joke inside. Have you seen any jokes recently with, like, Cyril going to see Trump and everything. Have you seen anybody release?
No. I haven't seen any jokes around that. I've seen jokes around Afrikaners arriving in America. Have you seen, what's his name now? Troy Shepherds.
I know Troy.
Yeah. Did like a skit on Afrikaners arriving in America. And I was just like, let's laugh. Because Vele, like, let's get a little political right now.
Yeah.
The whole, let's say, sensationalization of the Land Expropriation Without Compensation Act was like what Dan Corder says, grift is just grifting, yes. Right? And I think we have more pressing issues in South Africa than the white people's delusion of this genocide that they claim is happening. The farm murders aren't as frequent as the women who are being murdered in South Africa.
Right? Every day, even now, today, there's a hashtag.
Every single day.
Like 10, 15, 20
Way
hashtags.
More pressing matters, right? So my political opinion on the migration of Afrikaners, or let me say their refugee status in America, is keep them.
Yeah.
Keep them. Vele, they had Oranje. If they're dissatisfied with Oranje, they can go stay in Connecticut or wherever. Because really and truly,
it's the fact that it was only 40 of them that went, that dusted me. And it's the fact that one is even selling a 4-bedroom home. Imagine being a refugee. Do you have a 4-bedroom home? And you are
a refugee not with a 4-bedroom home is type.
You are selling your 4-bedroom home.
Dude.
They're selling 4-bedroom homes in farms. Like, I'm just like, girl, if you're a refugee, sell that to me for 1 rand. Sell it to me for 1 rand. I will go and be the Afrikaner on the front. I'll promise through.
It's so ridiculous. And I can't believe our president sat down. You know, there was a little bit of disappointment in the fact that he went there to confront such
stupidity. Like, same. I was like, this is something you ignore. Like,
I was just like let the Afrikaners go. If they want to just go. Like, and I love that one of the women, I forgot her name now, who accompanied the president to that meeting, refocused the conversation towards gender-based violence and a lot of the human rights violations that happen in South Africa on a regular basis. She shifted that conversation in the direction it needed to go, which is what I love. But I hated that it had to be a woman. You know, there were 5 other people there, bro, and you're telling me we're having a conversation about there's no genocide happening because they want to pull foreign aid. And I think for any African country, I'm trying to remember now this
Burkina Faso.
Yes.
How did I even know you're gonna say that? Yes.
Any African country who panders to, you know, the Western world because of foreign aid is accepting defeat, is accepting neo-colonialism. If anything, it should open our eyes to like, okay, they've pulled foreign aid, let's pull our socks up, you know, and let's make sure that the money we receive is allocated in the right direction. We are the world's largest producer of many minerals, right?
Very so.
Is it titanium? My memory forgot, right? But if anything, once they pull the pacifier, feed yourself somewhere else, you know? Instead, we're now begging
to
HIV
keep
and
the
AIDS.
Pacifier.
We have so many innovators in our country, right? The person who found, it's a bit controversial, I mean, conspiracy, but the person who discovered, let me say, before we get
legally. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. A lot of the world's cures
came
from South Africa.
Yes, very true.
Exactly. So
very true.
Any HIV medication, we have many, many, many bright minds that have graduated from.
Yes.
What? We have the continent's
UCT.
The continent's best tertiary education. You're telling me those bright minds cannot come together and say, you know what, since foreign aid has been pulled, let's bring the funds here. Let's do.
They don't want to, because I was.
You still. I love you, but.
I was actually having a conversation with a doctor, funny enough, in the salon. Yeah. And it turns out she started off in like, you know, the study of viruses, like, a degree in that, and then she went into medicine.
Yeah.
So she was, like, one of our brightest minds during COVID.
Yeah.
And they were having issues, so she was operating from a lab, but not necessarily a properly equipped lab in Limpopo, right? Yeah. In Venda specifically. Yeah. And most of the research, or most of the blood transfusions, or the things that they needed to actually, like, create a cure or help people, were being done in, like, Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And then they would get transported to Limpopo. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a whole logistical issue. And they couldn't help many lives in the rural areas in Limpopo because of that. Yeah. And she literally had to sit and be like, guys, cut the cameras. We have people who are able to do what is being done there in Johannesburg here. Mm-hmm. Why is it that there has to be a middleman and there has to be transport?
Yeah.
I demand funds to create. They created a makeshift lab.
That's beautiful.
They went and begged and got what they got from whoever they got to create a makeshift lab.
Yeah.
And they did that out of their own hands, you know, and they were working hours they didn't need to work. They were doing things that they didn't need to do because a need was there.
Yeah.
And there are so many South Africans with that ability. There is no need, guys. Burkina Faso, I loved when that man said, we have paid off our international. Like, the only reason why Africa is still colonized, like, we act like we aren't colonized, but we are still yep. babies for the West. We are still the children of the West. Yep. It's because they are giving us the pacifier.
Yep.
If they don't have any stake and control, and we pay off our international debt, I know it's hard to say let's pay off international debt while there's ESCOM, while there's this, while there's that, but that's a step moving forward, going somewhere, because now you can negotiate on an equal playing field. Yeah. Ain't no way Cyril was in the equal playing field with Trump out there when we owe them money. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, when you owe someone money, you cannot have an equal conversation. It's true. Will always look at you like this.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, but we didn't mean to
be veering so far off the topic of black girl joy.
But in all of this that is happening, and everything that is happening in our country, I feel like it's very important for us as black women to continue showing our joy, posting our graduation pictures, going all out. People are like, oh my God, you are spending 20K on your grad. Do that if it brings you joy.
Yeah.
Post about it. Celebrate your apartment. Celebrate your degree. Celebrate your job. Celebrate everything, you know, because joy in the midst of chaos brings peace, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we should carry on doing that. Yeah. Like, carry on being loud and proud. Like, I know that we are right now going through a lot as women in this country, but I think we should persevere and stay joyful in all of it.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, what is happening in our country, because I think by the time you guys see this, it would have been 2 weeks since Olorato's
passing
murder. Because passing,
it makes it light. Like, it was, it makes it light. Like, it was
a natural circumstance. Yes, she was murdered, right? Mm. I think that when black girls are joyful, it's an act of revolution. Because there are so many joy stealers, right? And the joy stealers can be in our homes, can be at school, can be in our workplace. They can be everywhere. And to take back your happiness and take back your joy is such a revolutionary thing. And we should not feel any remorse. Rather, I'm so proud of us for rallying behind each other. We all stand up when it's time to stand up, right? Especially when it's necessary. And to laugh and to take back your agency in your body. And the person who comes to mind, and I know we're having a conversation about gender-based violence, right? But the other person who's been on my heart is Umbali's Khosana, right? She's the lady who says, "San bananas pegele
numnyenwa." Oh, yes. She used to say that, right?
And I watched this video of hers just, you know, detailing her experience with her marriage ending and how traumatic it has been.
Yes.
And I realized that she got a lot of joy from catering to her partner in that manner. But her joy was stolen because the man had a desire to have a polygamous marriage, and it was so tumultuous that, you know, And her career on social media
was based on
started on that. Mm. And now, you know, there was a part of her that felt, can she continuously make this content and can she continue to cook if her tagline, if she can no longer use her tagline? Mm. And that for me was an indication of a joy stealer and the joy stealer she was living with, and the situation itself stole her joy. But how revolutionary is it that she has taken that back? And she's still cooking, and she's still like, creating content, and she's cooking for her kids, yes. And now she's hosting people, you know, and all of those things. And I think that is one example of, even in situations of you know, a relationship gone bad or whatever joy stealing situation has happened, when you prioritize self. I also think of firstborn Black daughters and how you know, Black tax can sometimes take a toll on you mentally and physically. When you book yourself a spa date, you're taking back your joy, and that's saying, hey, I'm not going to succumb to the system of generational feeding. What is it called?
I don't know, but I understand.
Leeching. There we go. Generational leeching, right? So, which is what Black tax has come to be. Mm. At first, it was, you know, paying it backwards, or paying it forward, rather.
Or taking care of those who took care of you.
Taking care of those who took care of you. But now it's drawn from a sense of entitlement and pocket watching, you know? Now it's just something that is draining more than it should be fulfilling. And when we take care of ourselves and we buy the dress that we like, or we go out to this restaurant we want to go to, and we do our hair, even that in itself is like, hey, against whatever cultural systems exist, whatever socio-political systems exist, I'm going to be happy. And that is what I love about Black people, including your community. I think Black girls have a lot of joy in community as well, when Black girls rally behind each other.
Yes, yes, yes. I know, it's guys. Beautiful thing to witness. I'm telling you, when we come together and we laugh together and everything, it's amazing. Yeah. So for me, I'd love to say thank you guys for getting this far. Thank you guys for enjoying.
What should they comment?
Oh, Black girl joy. I don't know.
Like the emoji.
The Black girl joy emoji.
What's the Black girl?
I'm sure there's a Black emoji, like you can make, you know, those yellow emojis, black, and I'm sure there's a woman with a crown.
Queen, yes. If you made it this far into the video, please comment that Black queen. Oh, scores.
She won. We said she won. There's no need to count the scores. We know Winile. Like, please.
And you know, if she won, she was going to want to count the scores. Thank you guys so much for watching. We're going to have another conversation somewhat similar to this one. Yes. But obviously very, very, very unique, very different, very relaxed over on memberships. It's no longer 149.99 rand. It is now 39.99 rand. So let's go meet then. Also, our members are going to be the first people to receive the newsletter. So you want to be on that side, guys. And also, we want to link up this winter.
Oh, yes. Oh.
So the members will also receive first preference for the
link up this winter.
We're not
definitely
telling you what the link up is.
But it's cute.
It's very cute. It's very,
it's very cutesy, very demure.
So, do you want to do the cues?
Yes. Subscribe, like, comment, and...
Oh, and also share your experiences on Black Girl Joy.
Joy, yeah. Tell us any funny moments.
Bye. Bye. See ya.